Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PIE, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know,
trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Hi, this is Lee Goldberg, and you're listening to TV Confidential with Ed Robertson.
Hello! We hope you like our show. We hope.
The next edition of TV Confidential will premiere next week on this station at the usual time. Our guests will include actress and director Michelle Danner. We hope you'll join us for that. In the meantime, we have a few minutes left in this week's program. Enough time to tell you that Robert Clary passed away last week. Robert Clary, the singer, actor, best known for playing LeBeau on Hogan's Heroes, though he also starred on Days of Our Lives for 15 years throughout the 1970s and 1980s. Robert Clary passed away last week at the age of 96. As was reported in all of the obituaries that ran last week, Robert Clary was one of three Hogan's Hero stars of Jewish heritage, Werner Klemperer and John Banner being the other two, who experienced Nazism in real life many years before doing Hogan's Heroes. In Clary's case, he spent nearly 3 years as a teenager in German concentration camps and lost many family members during that time, including both his parents. Our friend Robert Crane, eldest son of Bob Crane, got to know Robert Clary, Werner Klemperer, and John Banner during the years when his dad filmed Hogan's Heroes. He talked to us about that when he appeared on TV Confidential in June 2015.
Did you get to know some of the other cast members?
I did, yeah. Ivan Dixon, I had great respect for. I mean, I hate to, this is very delicate for me because I hate when, you know, for lack of a better term, people of color are separated, you know, from, I'm saying this really badly, but he was the first black person to bob up, you know, I hate that, you know, in the perfect world, we're all together in this mess. But at the time, 1965, Bill Cosby and Ivan Dixon are the only two men of color mm-hmm. on regular series. And just for that fact alone, I was in awe of Ivan Dixon. Plus, he was a brilliant actor and didn't get that much to do on Hogan's. You know, it was Kinch. You know,
yeah.
He's on the calling the submarine and, you know, doing stuff. And that's why he left after 5 years. I mean, he had a great time, and a lot of people saw him on the show. But he went off and became a director.
A very busy
you know,
director.
Because he was so talented.
Yeah. He did the best of all the prisoners. He did the best German accent, which I thought irony. And I guess they had to tread lightly on it because when they would go off on some sort of caper pretending to be Germans, you couldn't send him. But on the radio, he could pull it off, and he seemed to be better than anybody else in the fluency in German and just to do the accents and all that. But you could not put him in a SS uniform and go on some sort of caper.
Yeah.
They never explained why he disappeared.
No. He just became Kenneth Washington.
Yeah.
He got younger, thinner, and less capable of doing the accents.
Yeah. Back then, no series finale and no explaining why Kinchlow leaves Stalag.
And they never explained the secretary pool having the change either. It was just, and that was
Helga
just,
and Hilda.
It's not like the two Marilyns on the Munsters or the two Garens on Bewitched. This was,
wow.
Yeah, it's because
you guys are TV fans, man.
Because, you know, you had somebody who was in on it. I mean, Helga was the manicurist underground in the pilot, so she knew all the secrets. And then it's like she disappears. There should be a story about that.
Or Dick York and
Dick Sargent. Dick Sargent. Yeah. Werner Klemperer, did you get to know him?
A little bit, yeah. I mainly observed him and was, let's see, I don't want this to sound wrong because he was an actor first. Yeah. I mean, he's into it. Mm-hmm. He's rehearsing the next scene. And I'm this little twerpy teenager. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to go up and bother him, yeah. Because he's like, And so when he wasn't working, he's rehearsing the next scene. Sure. He's either reading the lines or working with the script supervisor. And little Bobby's not going to go up there. The more accessible people were the POWs, Larry Hovis, mm-hmm. Richard Dawson. They're playing cards on the set. Ivan, Robert Clary, singing, because he was a great singer. They were more accessible. And I don't know, maybe because I felt, let me add John Banner. Totally accessible. Mm-hmm. He was Grandpa.
Yeah.
You went up to him. He was John Candy before John Candy. So you'd go up to him and hug him and just disappear in his hug. And he was the sweetest, loveliest guy. So I don't mean to single Werner out some bad character. Yeah. He was just so professional and always.
People are wired
differently. Yeah.
I think a lot of people had more of the comedy background.
Yeah.
The seriously theatrically trained background. That these guys were so good together, but you had completely, and there are people who need privacy
and
all that. Then you have people who were used to being backstage doing whatever you're on. Great. And then they are just on stage. They don't do that prep. They just do it.
And a couple of years into the show, Richard Dawson and Larry Hovis are writing and appearing on Laugh-In while they're doing Hogan's. I never understood. So they're writing things. So I was interested in the writing aspect. Like they're writing sketches for Laugh-In. So I would kind of hover around and watch them work. And so,
But also just the music, because your dad loved the big band era.
Yeah.
And so and Werner Klemperer was the son of a famous conductor. Yeah. So he
Otto Klemperer.
Otto Klemperer. Yeah. Hochstetter. Was a bluegrass banjo player,
I
heard. Yeah.
Really?
Because he was a Southern Jew, so he would...
Wow.
I was told that you could walk by the trailer, and you would hear different styles of music coming from each trailer.
Yeah.
Which, actually, there was one time that they all just kind of improvised a jam session in that one episode, and you could see Ivan Dixon knew how to play the bass, and your dad obviously was this incredible drum player.
Yeah.
But they were all just there, and obviously... And all chained together.
Yeah.
They were all chained, and they just went into some Hofbräu, and, look, the instruments are set up. And it was really cool. And it's annoying to me when I see sometimes in syndication, the musical number gets cut. It's like a couple of times that they got to do music on the show, that's usually the first thing that gets sacrificed for more commercial time.
There wasn't a lot of crossover between Hogan. I mean, today, if a show like Hogan's a big hit, there'd be a lot of crossover, collectible kind of stuff. There was an album that your dad recorded for Epic Records where he played the... It was arrangements of popular TV themes, and he played the drums, and he did some of the shtick that he did on his show. I showed Tony and Donna the pic. There's a picture of that album cover in Bob's book. Bob actually appears on the cover of the album.
It's...
Bob was recruited to play a German soldier.
How old are you in
really?
This picture?
Well, the album came out in 1967, so I'm about 15 or 16 years old.
Well, at that time during the war, the Germans were recruiting anybody.
They needed help,
The POW camps were, either manned by the geriatrics like Schultz or they got the kids. Everybody else was fighting or going to the Russian front. Yeah.
So this is, just being there, being there. The photographer, Gene Howard, he doesn't want my dad and his drum set and Clink, Schultz, and Hilda right in the center of the frame. He wants them off to the right a little bit, and then you have the
guard tower.
Guard tower in the left. But they need something to fill in under the guard tower, so they need a guard. So my dad goes, Bobby. So, okay. So I go over, I get, the wool coat on. It's the middle of summer. Yeah. The helmet and a rubber machine gun, and I am standing off to the left,
looking menacing. Yeah.
In the history of the show, you're the only guard who's doing his damn job.
But the album was on Epic Records, which later, of course, was Michael Jackson's label. It stiffed, But, you know, he had a good time.
It
he
was ahead of his time.
He got to play with a lot of great L.A. musicians. Ray Brown, the bass player, and the Rangers, and Ernie Freeman and the Ranger, and people like that. So it was fun.
Yeah.
And then the heroes, the four guys, Ivan Dixon, Robert Clary, Richard Dawson, Larry Hovis, did a singing album.
Yes, where they sang the heretofore undiscovered lyrics to the Hogan's Heroes theme song.
Yeah. Wow. There are lyrics to that. Yeah. But I remember, like, in the days of the variety show, they did the Leslie Uggam show.
And the
opening sketch would be them as the heroes escaping.
Yes.
And going to, and then there was like a
Hollywood Palace.
Yeah.
With Bing Crosby.
And that's where Werner Klumper and John Batters sang Silent Night in German. So you got to hear them. Yeah, so they did like little songs from around the world, but you actually heard it in German.
Television of the 60s.
Television of the 60s. Robert Crane sharing a few memories of Ivan Dixon, Werner Klemperer, John Banner, and Robert Clary from a conversation that originally aired in June 2015 on TV Confidential. Robert Clary passed away last week at the age of 96. For more backstage stories about Hogan's Heroes, check out Bob's book, Crane, Sex, Celebrity, and My Father's Unsolved Murder. And Robert Crane, also one of the contributors to Beyond Where the Buses Run, a collection of short stories edited by Teresa Griffin Kennedy, which is available in paperback and as an ebook through Oregon Greystone Press and Amazon.com. Also a reminder that Flirting with Fame by Dan Harari, available Amazon.com, where books are sold online. Ed Robertson, back to Tony Figueroa, Donna Allen, Phil Grice, and Greg Airbar. Thank you so much for listening. Stay healthy, stay safe. We'll talk to you next time on TV Confidential. Be part of our conversation. If you like what you hear, have thoughts on this week's program, or have an idea for a future edition of TV Confidential, we'd love to hear from you. You can email us at talk@tvconfidential.net, talk@tvconfidential.net. You can also message us at facebook.com/TV Confidential, x.com/TV Confidential, or @TV Confidential on Instagram. And if you're listening to us on the TV Confidential podcast, please be sure to hit the subscribe button.
This portion of TV Confidential is brought to us by our friends at Front Porch Realty, the community of realtors in the Northern Bay Area of California that is committed to finding the solution that is best for their clients. Whether you're a first-time home buyer or looking to sell or lease your property in Northern California, call Karen Strain at 415-886-7411 or visit frontporchrealtygroup.com for more information on how they can help you.